number 16723, George Lambert, reel 2.
Mr. Lambert, reel 2. What were the billets like that you were accommodated in?
Well, they were the old original army barracks, Fenham barracks. They've been there for years, apparently, you know, doing this. And you were all in one sort of room or one barrack, and your beds were all laid out right round it. And they all had to be made up, every ounce, with a blanket, a sheet, a blanket, a sheet, and then the last blanket was wrapped round, and that was on the end of your bed, you know, doings, and they had to be square and they had to be right. Your boots, they were underneath the bed, polished, pointing out over, you know, and all this sort of, you know, and your locker was doing. And we, in those days, had to use a bumping machine, which was the polisher, which was on a big long arm and a heavy weight on it, and put the polish on and swing it backwards and forwards to polish the floor and the course. And you every morning, reveille, of course, then away into the cold water taps for to get washed and shaved. The ones in the ablutions, the ones. And that was outside, yeah, and then you came back, and then you had to get all your bed made up and everything. Then there was an inspection every morning.
The ablutions were outside in there?
Outside, yes, they were independent, yeah. You came out and walked along a platform on the side of the building, across a bridge, and away into the ablutions.
Did you all have specific tasks to perform when you got up?
Well, you'd be responsible for your own bed, but you all had to... there was a sort of a rotor set up for the... use the bumping machine for to polish the floor every morning, you know. It all took your turns.
You say there was beds lying down both sides of the room.
Yeah.
Can you describe the rest of the room?
Plain.
Was there a table or anything like that in it?
Oh, yes, there was a table in the centre doing it. Just pictures of, I would think, different lads that had been in the army and doing were there and on the wall, but there was... You weren't interested in them, you know, you were just interested in doing what you had to do.
Did you have to keep the table polished as well as the floor?
Oh, yes, yeah. The whole room was your responsibility. You cleaned your own windows in the window, you know. The windows had to be cleaned. You did that. Yeah, you took turns, you know. There wasn't all that many windows because there were only windows either end, you know, but...
How was it heated?
They were heated with a central heating.
Radiated?
You know, it was radiated.
It wasn't a central stove?
No. I would think that. I can't remember that, to be quite honest, referenced. I think use the extra blanket if you had to keep yourself warm.
You say that you were then inspected after you'd done all your ablutions clean.
Every morning the room was inspected, yeah. Either the Sergeant Dowson, or the Corporal Douthwaite,
Were they attached to any regiment, your training people?
They would be. I couldn't tell you what they were. I remember the officer's name, which we thought was funny at the time, because it was a German name, Major V.A. I thought it was rather funny at the time. Didn't ask questions. You had your own little section. Well, I'm saying section was like a platoon sort of thing, and you just stuck to your own friends, you know, because 120 of us, you know, but we just stuck to our own group. Who was in the room together, and if you went out, you went out together. And out of the 120, I would say I can't remember great many names of them, you know.
Was your platoon or squad, was it given a name or a number?
No, just 1, 2, or 3, I think, if I remember rightly.
You said that they gave you, as you say, a training uniform that you did your training in. What else did they give you? Did you have boots, obviously?
Oh, yes, boots. You got the dunes and you got a rifle.
You got a rifle straight away, did you?
Had more, well, just to practice with, you know, doing. It was the old Ross rifle, if I remember rightly. The old dunes, if I remember rightly.
Did they give you any of the kit, webbing and so forth? Did you get this?
Yes. The small pack, I think, if I remember rightly. You see, we didn't get a lot, because when you think 1939 in July, there was the second militia came up in the following months, and then it was stopped. So that when you get into September, we were basically more or less still just in training. I think that if we go to 1939, on the Sunday morning that war was declared. Rather funny, it, I think it appeals maybe to somebody, was that war had been declared, but we're all lined up ready to go down Barrack Road to go to the baths, because that facility wasn't in the barrack room. And we're going to the local baths, and all the people, or quite a number of people in Barrack Road, came out to watch us going down, and tears was running down their eyes. More, you know, you can think about it now, and it was rather funny. We were only going for a bath and stuff, and the war had been declared. And it was in the funny side of it.
So you actually hadn't heard the announcement?
No. Then that was on the Sunday morning, and night time, of course, had been posted out, you know, through over the radio and everything, that all regulars, soldiers, reservists and everybody had to report back. And the boys started coming in, the DLI boys started coming in, 1st and 2nd Battalions. We didn't know what they were, but we know now that they were part of the 1st and 2nd Battalion, or we knew later on, but they started coming in, and they came in some terrible states. But the old regular soldiers and the boys that had a few beers and that before they arrived, and they're quite noisy. But then on the next morning we had to dish out all the equipment
to them.
To them. And that was our job in the quartermaster's stores, dishing out all the. And they just came along and we were passing it out to them. And I think the most remarkable thing was the next morning, or the late in the afternoon, I can't remember which, we were all lined up round the parade ground, and they turned out in their uniform. And the octave, they were, you thought they'd never left the army. Straight through every movement, no problem. And in other words, it's taking you, what a lot of clowns you were, like, you know, look at these lads. But then off, because I say off they went.
Can we just go back to your early days in the militia? You'd finish your chores, as you say, the things that you had to do in the barrack room, and you had this morning inspection. Did you have a kit inspection with whatever kit you had?
Oh, yes.
Was that a morning thing?
You had to lay those right out on your bed. You left your doings and you had to lay them out, and there was a special order for them. You had to lay them all out, and of course your socks was looked at and everything to make sure that you'd washed them and everything, you know, they were all laid out.
Items would be lost. What happened then? Or stolen even. What happened then?
Well, you had to have an explanation why. And
would they accept an explanation that you had it taken, someone had actually taken your piece, whatever it was?
Well, the object then was to try and get one from somewhere else. You learned that straight away, you know, Tones. But
was there a lot of stealing, you know, between recruits?
No, I don't. I think that, as I say, you were all there for a reason. And the object was to get on as much as possible. You didn't know what your future was going to be, but you had to make friends. Don't, otherwise, well, if you didn't, you were making life hard for yourself. So the object was to make friends, which is
was there any problems in friendships within the, you know, the unit, within the one room? Was there any bullying or initiations, anything like that going on?
Not in our particular doings. You had the old lad that liked to drink and come back and maybe were a little bit noisy, and you would, two or three, would maybe say, why the hell don't you shut up, like, you know, doing it. No. But a lot of the thing was, we did a lot of gym work. You did a lot of time with the PTI. Cross-country runs was organised, you know.
So when you finished your inspections, so forth, at what point did you get breakfast? That come before your inspections, or on a morning, or after it?
Sorry?
After did your first meal, your breakfast, come before the morning inspections of your room, or after it?
After doing that.
What time was Ravalli, by the way?
6 o'clock.
So what time would you be going to breakfast?
About 7, half past 7.
And were you marched there?
No, just made your own way to the cougar. You know, we weren't classed as, well, I shouldn't say we weren't classed as regular soldiers. We were treated like, but we weren't, you know, there was that little bit. I think when I've listened to old soldiers, you know, through the way to meet up with them and that, I think, no, we weren't bullied. Doing.
What would you get for breakfast? What would a typical breakfast be?
Bacon and ham and bacon and egg, you know, fried bread. And
you consider yourselves well fed?
Oh, yes. Weren't,
and how was it? Did you have to line up for it, or was it served in any way?
No, you just took your plate and just go in there and just walk through the cooker, you know, the line and got it done. Sometimes you had to go to the look forward to the naffy at night time and get something different.
After breakfast, what might happen next?
Well, you went on training, you know, marching threes and fours and what have you. I think when you, another one of the things is that the parade ground was there, and you were told from the start that you do not cross the parade ground. You walked round it. Anybody that tried to take a shortcut, there was the sergeant major had eyes in the back of his head. He just opened that window and better like doing, what the bloody hell are you walking over there? But, you know, doing, come here, young man, or something. You know, so you learned that way. You never crossed the parade ground. You walked round it.
So you learned the basic drill, which, as you say, was attention, standardies, marching, mm-hmm. So forth.
Yeah. Now let me take you out.
Did they demonstrate what you had to do before you actually did it?
Well, like yeah, the corporal did that, like, you know, doing. But you just picked it up. You just did what you had to. You know, in those days you thought, well, it's only 6 months. So why book it? Doing it.
Must have been difficult for the corporals and so forth to try to instill training and discipline into someone who thought, well, I'm not going to be here long anyway. Was there an attitude amongst the recruits that you basically do just enough to get through and no more?
Well, I would say yes, in that score. But myself, I'll be quite honest, I think, well, I'm here. It's only for 6 months. Make the best of it. And hope everything works out.
How did you settle coming away from a family situation, of course, and you said you were courting, had a girlfriend, and going into an all-male world where you were living like this all day long?
Well, I think that the only way is I travelled a lot in my building work, and leaving early in the morning, start work at 8, sometimes had to leave home 6 o'clock or half past 6 to get there if it had started at 8 o'clock, and I'd work through, and then towards my apprenticeship sometimes I would work till maybe half past 6, 7 o'clock, and of course it was 8 o'clock by the time I got home. I think that I'd already programmed myself in not being a home bird doing this. Other friends of mine who were working down the pit would go down for the shift and then they'd come back and they would just go to home and just go to bed and lie down. Well, I was out of the house more, and I'll agree that when once I got home on my apprenticeship, I got my dinner. It's not the first time I've laid down on the floor in front of the fire with all my clogs on.
So you found no great difficulty accepting the discipline of the army?
Not really, because I think that I've got to agree that if you don't book the thing that is going to look after you, you know, don't that, and why get yourself into trouble? I was never brought up. As I say, my dad gave me a certain amount of doings, and why get into trouble? You know, I mean, you did silly things at times, like, but hoping that you got away with it, but nothing malicious.
Did you train with your rifle from the very beginning? Did they give you rifle drill straight away?
No. You did all the marching first and make sure you had your left foot and your right foot. you still say the funny side of it. Somebody walking with his right arm and his right leg going out, you know, doings, and of course the corporal getting hold of him and making him, trying to get him to do it, you know, doing it. It all comes back, you know, it's funny.
Drilling on the square, as you say, and then group matches. Did you get into group
matches?
Yes,
I would. You did one, maybe probably once a week, you know, doing to take you for a stroll up Barrack Road and a way around somewhere, doing let the public see you.
What was the public attitude immediately prior to the war? There's still no war. Were they sympathetic towards you? Or?
I would say yes. As I said, as I quoted before, we're going for a bath and the people crying their eyes out, you know, and we're only going for a bath.
Was there any discussion in those early months before the war started in your barrack room, etc., or with your senior people, senior NCOs and stuff? Was there any discussion that they felt that war was coming and this may affect you in any way?
Not really. Why? I can't remember that, because I would say no at that particular time. I can't, you know. You would just try to put things out of your mind and say, well, it's only 6 months. Let's get it, you know, doing that.
So there was drills, group matches. Did you do bayonet work?
Yes, I wanted to do bits of that as well, yeah, doing.
How was that done?
It was just done with the dummy stuffed with straw, you know, doing it was done with that. And then we had to do a rifle shoot I did the rifle shoot when I joined the 9th Battalion at Whitburn. I can't remember now whether I did it before I joined them or with them, but I did the rifle shoot at Whitburn. It would be with them because I had to fire the anti-tank rifle as well, which was the ones. It was with I'm nearly sure it was before I joined the 9th. I did, can't remember now.
The anti-tank rifle, what was that one?
It was a 505, like a 055 or something. Doing it was cartridge was about 6 inches. Doing and you fired it from your shoulder. You laid down behind it from your shoulder, and one lad didn't keep it properly. He knocked his shoulder blade out. You know, doing but that was.
Was it very effective?
I can't remember whether it was with it, but I know that was my first rifle shoot or firing was at Whitburn.
Games? Did you get into any games at the army?
Oh, yeah. Used to play a bit of football. I wasn't interested in football. I was more tennis, which didn't apply to me, so I spent a lot of time in the gym doing this. And I did foot running, you know. I kept me foot running in while I was doing this.
Were any members of the squad or platoon that you're in taken as kind of a senior member? Was someone given some kind of authority from amongst you over the 6 months that you were there?
No. There was later in, I think, when the war had broke out, there was a lad called Turner. He came from the other side, Hordenway somewhere. His ambition was to be an officer, Jones, but I don't know whether it materialised or not, Jones.
Any other memories of the initial weeks of training that you have?
Not really. Yeah.
What were the NCOs like?
Well, that's it. Sergeant Dowson, I mean, he was a regular soldier, and he was Corporal Douthwaite. But I was pretty fair, though, you know, I hadn't any bother with them, you know, because you just did what you were told, you know.
And the officer that mentioned, what was he like?
Well, we never saw a lot of him. He was just, you know, he was, when you were on parade and you were doing a certain amount of parade, you'd probably come out and you'd have to go through it all for him, like, you know, doing this, and he used to stand and watch. And, you know.
You said that you got a weekend pass. Was that a regular thing?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Before the war, initially, you know, before you actually went into the war situation, did you get any longer leave?
No, I just got the... You weren't allowed out after 12 o'clock on a Saturday, and you had to be back in the barracks on the Sunday night, ready for the Monday morning.
Were you inspected on your way out?
Oh, yes, you had to go through the guard room as you went out and hand your name and everything in, you know, and you'd report in as you come in.
Did they look at you to see what kind of state you're in the from the point of view of cleanliness and so forth?
Oh, yes. Well, that was the guard duty, like, you know, doings. But I think as long as you were walking in then those days, you were all right. But doings, oh, yes. Well, it's up to you to keep yourself as smart as you possibly can, I mean.
Did you have any duties yourselves to perform in the few weeks that you were there before the war started?
No.
Purely training?
No, just purely simply training. Training and gymnasium, you know. Trying to get you fit, I would think.
For those people who may have done something wrong or not done something right, what was the kind of punishments that they might get?
No, just junkers, you know. Peeling spuds and washing the dishes. And I could say that there was anybody ever locked up. You know, maybe overnight or something like that, but I kind of probably have. We've been drunk and that and put in the cell for the night, but because I never drank then, so that sort of thing didn't do it. But possibly they did do it, but basically it was junkers. Or go and see the captain, you know, the officer in charge.
You wouldn't get very far through the training before actually the war commenced.
No.
What was there any great change, any appreciable change in what was happening to you when that happened, when the war did start on the 3rd of September?
Well, once that started, we were more or less organised for to go to the 9th Battalion. Well, to the 9th Battalion. Well, what happened was we left Fenham Barracks and went in the open Bransworth Castle out, and we went there to clean it out and get it ready for more soldiers coming in at a later date, of the same basis. And we went to Fenham Barracks, but we were under canvas for a while whilst that was being cleaned out. And then we had a few little short time in the castle. When we went out to Eshwinnan.
What state was the castle in? Because it became a major depot, didn't it?
It did come in. It all had to be swept out, washed out and cleaned out, you know. It was like being on fatigues.
Was this the main castle building?
Yes. Yeah.
And was there any of the camp that eventually was grown up around it? Was there any of that there?
No, not that. But it was just pure and simple the castle. That's here. We were under canvas further away from the castle for a little while. Well, we could clean it out.
And had you been posted officially to the 9th Battalion then?
No, when I went to Eshwinnan, that's when we moved. We went to Eshwinnan doing this.
What day?
The whole lot of us moved out to Eshwinnan, and then we spent, I don't know how many weeks there. And then we were transferred down to Morton and Marsh, and that's when we come and...
What date did you move to Eshwinnan?
Oh, well, I couldn't tell you that.
So you moved with the 9th Battalion to Eshwinnan. What were you doing there?
When we went down to Morton and the Marsh, it would be, let's see, we went over to France in Boxing Day on 39. So that would be November, September. It must have been somewhere around about the back end of October, beginning of November, you know, sometime about that time.
What were you doing at Deschwinning?
Just finishing out training off, because there was more the other soldiers coming into the Bransworth Castle, and we just went there. And we just spent a short time there, as I say.
Was this still the same kind of training that you've been doing prior to that?
When we were at Bransworth, we did a little bit of training, hedgerow training, you know, good normal. They would sit mostly around Oakenshaw, around that area, going out in a company and looking for this, that, and the other, you know, doing a little bit of proper army training. And then that's when we started doing the sort of patrols and trying to find. Somebody would go out and you would have to go and look for them, you know, doing that. It was, that was it, just before I went over to Eshwinning.
This is using ground and...
No, we're just at Eshwinning, we more or less... We had a normal routine there, but we had a sergeant major who was a little bit of... You could use a bit of language, and used to line us up in the outside of our... billets, as the saying is, there. And he came out one morning with this word, with a few nasty words, and the public objected to him. So consequently, we were the sufferers. We had to walk about 2 miles for to do our training and practices and whatnot, and walk back again. We didn't thank the public for that one.
Where were you billeted in Eshwinning?
I was in the picture house in Eshwinning. Billeted in the picture house.
How did you accommodate yourselves? I mean, picture house with many seats.
We had palliasses there. You got the straw and the palliasses and your blankets and whatnot. And that's where we slept there.
Was it rough conditions?
Well, yes. But
had the seats been removed from the picture house? Or
Yeah.
So it was one great big hall.
Just like one big hall, I do.
Where did you eat?
The cook. There was another cook. I was further away. You had to go there and see it and carry it back. Doing it. I can't remember. We couldn't have been much there, much more than a month after that. If we were there that long, you know.
Which part or which unit or section in the 9th Battalion had you been attached to?
Well, when I first joined the 9th Battalion, I was posted into the signal section. And I had a cousin who was a miner, and he stuck to me like glue. And I knew he couldn't. He was no good for the signal section. Doing this because I knew what his abilities were. But he wherever I went, he doing this, and of course doing this. But eventually he went to D Company. But I got to know one or two of the lads, and when I got into the 9th Battalion and found out there was a pioneer platoon. I made him, you know, what to do, and well, it carries tradesmen, and I thought, well, I'll... I know that pioneers now, is later on, is doing, but when I thought, well, tradesmen, one thing, I'm getting more into my own line, that surely some of it will rub off somewhere. So I volunteered for the pioneer platoon, and I was accepted, and I moved into there.
So you weren't with the signal as long?
No, I would think no more than a month. I moved in, I volunteered for the 9th Battalion.
What kind of things were they trying to teach you in the signals?
Well, the normal field movement, you know, the Morse code and all that, you know, that running the radio, you know,
Was this still at Eshwinning?
No, this is down at Morton, just after Doones. And when I would join the 9th Battalion.
What time did you move to Morton, did you say?
Well, I would think that that's going to be around about October time.
Well, the 9th already down there?
They were down there. We went down. Then we lined up and this one, so went that way and that way. And I was put into HQ. Well, they looked at your record, I presume, and then, you know, and we were put into HQ. And as I say, I was nominated for the signals. But when I found out there was a possibility of being able to use some of my building experience, I volunteered for the Pioneer Platoon.